close to that Merry Christmas, so close to that moment when we get to open all those presents. Are you guys excited? I can't wait to get under the tree and open those presents. How about you little guys? How excited are you for Christmas presents? Very? Do you actually go and shake the presents when mom and dad aren't looking? Do you maybe try to peek inside the little bags? How about you older guys? I know you do that occasionally. Do you shake? Well, I will confess to you, that is not my style to actually shake presents and try to figure out what's going on or what's in them or what I've been given. But when my children were younger, one of them had loose lips. And I won't tell you which one he is. But it was great fun because all I had to do was just make a wrong guess at what my wife Beth got me, and Lawton would just tell me what it was. So I could just say something like, boy, I don't know. I don't know if I need another sweater. And he just couldn't resist. He'd be like, Mom didn't get you a sweater. You've got this. And he was so excited about it. It was great. I miss those days. I so miss those days because he was so good at telling about the mysterious presence and what were in there. Well, this morning in the gospel reading of Luke, we're dealing with kind of one of those mysterious presents as well. One of those presents that's getting ready to come, and there's an excitement about what it will be and uncovering it and looking inside. So if you would, if you brought your Bibles, please go ahead and get them out. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And going over a very familiar story that we have all heard many times. And the story really proceeds after Mary and Joseph, who were engaged to be married, and the angel comes and makes the announcement to Mary that she is going to have a child. And the text reads that the Holy Spirit, or the angel Gabriel, said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Now remember, Mary and Joseph, they're just engaged. Technically speaking, she was betrothed to Joseph. And they were not yet married. So the announcement that she was getting ready to have a child and her being a virgin was kind of an issue. But yet the announcement came that she was going to carry the Holy One, the Son of God. Now, can you imagine the first impression that went through her mind when she hears this, you the favored one, and what is getting ready to be bestowed on you? I'm not sure words can ever summarize it, because I don't know of a grander announcement being made to any individual than to hear those words. Favored one, you are going to carry the Most High, the Son of the Most High. And yet the second thought that went through her mind, I absolutely can't imagine. Because I can imagine once she started coming down from that just a little bit and thinking through the implications of her not yet being married, but yet getting ready to have a child, what that would mean. Because remember, in those days, that kind of thing didn't really happen. The kind of thing of a premarital engagement ending in a pregnancy or beginning with a pregnancy, because that would completely wreck the woman's life and her livelihood and opportunities to have the kind of life that she had already dreamed of. So Mary's not planning on having a baby before she gets married. Mary's not planning on having any kind of interaction with Joseph that could lead to a baby before the marriage date. And yet here she is finding out from the angel Gabriel that she is in fact going to have a child. That she is going to become pregnant. Now, she can tell this to the world, but I have a feeling that no one's going to believe the story. If she turns up pregnant and says, well, but Gabriel said this was the Holy Spirit's. I mean, can you imagine the way people would react? And furthermore, if she tries to say it was Joseph's, or people even try to think about it being Joseph's, there's a problem there, because Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. People would know that this was not Joseph's child. that he would not do this. So worst case scenario, people are going to accuse Mary of being with someone other than Joseph, with someone other than Joseph. Now, can't you imagine the fear that starts running through her head about what other people are going to think of her? And what other people are going to assume that she has done, even though that she is completely innocent and the favored one? Can you imagine the anxiety and the complex emotions that had to be swelling up in her as she was thinking about the future and what was getting ready to happen? Obviously, God had, and God did. And God went before her, about 6 months before her, because the angel goes on and he says, "Behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." In other words, Mary, fear not. I have gone before you. And Elizabeth, your cousin, who is too old to have a child, and who was barren her whole life, has conceived. Could it be possible that God was doing the impossible? Angel Gabriel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Fear not, Mary. Don't be afraid of what other people are thinking, because nothing will be impossible with God. No wonder Mary left to go see Elizabeth. No wonder she packed up and headed out to go see her, because if anyone could understand what was going on and if anyone could help her process all this, it would be Elizabeth, for whom God was doing something miraculous as well. So in verse 39, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah to see Elizabeth, to share the good news. And she gets there and she enters the house and she says basically hello. And before that she can get anything else out, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary and the baby, that is John the Baptist, in her womb, 6 months along, the baby leaped." Hearing the good news of her voice saying hi, before she had a chance to say that I'm pregnant, before she had a chance to explain anything about the angel Gabriel or anything that was going on or anything about the presence, before anyone could say that Elizabeth was reacting to her story, before anyone could say that Elizabeth was just happy, before anyone could say that Elizabeth just had something odd to eat the night before, John the Baptist leapt in the womb. John reacts to the presence of Jesus being in the room. What an amazing confirmation. Mary, do not be afraid. Mary, do not worry about what everyone thinks. For nothing will be impossible with God. But Elizabeth goes on. Before Mary can say anything, Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit in your womb." The Holy Spirit somehow or another informs her that Mary is with child, and she's not showing yet, not far along. Mary's not told her, but yet she knows. What a confirmation of everything the angel had told Mary. What a confirmation of what God was doing. Mary, do not be afraid. Mary, do not worry about what everyone is thinking, for nothing will be impossible with God. And then Elizabeth goes on even more so. And she says, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Blessed is she who believed that prophecy from Gabriel. The prophecy said that he, being Jesus, will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to Jesus the throne of his father David, and Jesus will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And Jesus' kingdom, of it there will be no end. blessed is she who believes the promise that the coming one, the Messiah, the deliverer, would come and that he would save. That in him would be found forgiveness, that he would live, that he would go to that cross, taking on the sins of the whole world, that he would suffer them in your place, my place, her place, Mary's place, that he would die for us, giving us that forgiveness. Blessed is she, blessed are you that believe this, that he would rise again from the dead, that he would ascend into heaven, and that he would sit on the throne and reign forever. That's our Jesus. Blessed are you who believe this. Mary, be not afraid. Be not fearful of what other people think, for nothing will be impossible with God. It was about 12 years ago, and Beth and I were living in Overland Park, and our kids were just two and a newborn. And we were kind of your typical parents in the sense that we sat in the very back row and wanted to make sure the kids had no opportunity to disrupt worship or create any problems for us or draw any attention to us as parents. And we were the type of people that we kind of left Lawton, who was a little louder than he should have been, in the nursery more often than not. And Beth went to a conference called Child in Our Hands that our church was putting on. And the Child in Our Hands conference was geared towards helping young parents parent and bring their kids into the worship service. Because the idea was is that faith is caught, not taught. So through the process of this particular conference, they encourage the parents to take their kids into the worship service and to let the kids pick where you will sit. Now, you know why they encourage you to let the kids to pick where they would sit, right? Because the kids are going to pick where they can see, which means they're going to walk right up to the front row and plant the parents right here by Tommy or something. But thankfully, at the church we went to, the front row was occupied by two older couples, so we couldn't go there. So our children picked the second row, baptismal side. That's where we sat. It was so scary. I can't begin to tell you how scary it was to march up with those little chatterboxes and those disruptive kids and sit in the second row where everyone is looking at us. And true to form, they were disruptive. They didn't slow down. It was so embarrassing. My children. And this goes on for weeks. And Beth and I, we're sitting there thinking, oh my, what must these people think of us? This is horrible. And finally, after about 3 or 4 weeks, I guess the couples in front of us had had enough. And that lady turned around, and she's got a tear coming down from her eye. And I'm like, oh my goodness, we're going to have to find another church. Where are we going to go? This is going to be bad. This is going to be a scene like no scene before. And she looked at us, and she said, I wish my grandkids came to church with us. They don't go to church. I so wish they were in here right now. And at that moment, I realized how wrong I was. I was so caught up with what they would think of us and the disruption that we were creating and what everyone else did. It never occurred to me that Jesus was in this place too. That Jesus was doing something and his presence was affecting everything. Bill, Beth, be not afraid. Don't worry about what other people are thinking of you. I am with you. For nothing will be impossible with God. You know, the more I've thought about it, the more I think that Lawton really was right. In those early years where he would just blurt out what was in that mysterious package. And blurting out and sharing what the presence really is and what the present really is. Of not keeping it back, but sharing that Jesus is with us. That he is the greatest Christmas present you could ever have or ever share with anyone else. To blurt that out. And we've been thinking about it a lot this Christmas. We have several families that live down our street that have young kids. And it made us wonder, are they worried about coming to church? and what people will think about them if their kids are disruptive or if they're loud or something. Or how about those parents that are sitting in the back that really should be sitting on the front rows? We've got all kinds of open front rows now. How about them and encouraging them that it's okay to bring your families in and your kids in and to let them scream? Pastor Poland loves it. But we've been thinking a lot of how can we engage our neighbors and let them know it's okay. That they have nothing to fear, even if they don't look like us, even if they don't think they will fit in here, even if they are worried about what we might think. Don't be afraid. Fear not, for nothing is impossible with God. Jesus is present, and that changes everything. Now, how do we know that? We know that because he promised to be with us. He promised to be with us to the very end of the age. And he promised that when we come, when he has invited us to his table, and we come to the table and hold out our hands, that he will be with us. That he will forgive our sins. That he will strengthen us and encourage us and dispel all fear. My brothers and sisters, as you go out this week on your march to Christmas, having this greatest gift in the whole world of Jesus being with us, who do you know that you could invite to come to Christmas worship with us or Christmas Eve? Who do you know that's living in fear or worry about what other people might think, who need to hear the message? Fear not. Be not afraid, for nothing will be impossible with God. Amen.